Now, friends, we've come to a remarkable change in the message in Isaiah. This is now the second major division of Isaiah. And this section here is unlike that which precedes it and unlike that which follows it. This section here will leave the high plateau of prophecy, and it drops down to the record of history. Even the form of language is different. Up through chapter 35, we're in a realm of poetry. Now we'll have prose from 36 through 39, and then at 40 again, we're going to pick up the poetic section. This historic interlude here makes a proper bifurcation in the two great divisions in Isaiah. The first section, what we had, was, as we have seen, a judgment. That was the important thing. The government of God and the method by which God judged. Now, when we get to the last section, we'll see the grace of God. And no longer is it judgment, it is now salvation. And we'll be looking at that, of course, when we get to it. But these four chapters are wedged in here between these two major divisions. And sometimes we raise the question here, why was this put here? And the very interesting reason is that actually this occurs in other places, and why is it repeated here? Well, there are several very significant factors which I think I should mention as we get into this historic area. For instance, the first thing I'd like to say about it, sacred and secular history are not the same. Dr. Jennings, in his fine work on Isaiah, says divine history is never merely history, never simply a true account of past events. That's the end of the quotation. That means that there are great spiritual truths that are couched here in the sacred history that are seen only with the eye of faith. The Holy Spirit must teach us here the divine purpose in recording scriptural history. Now, I want to suggest, therefore, some reasons for this. These incidents, I think, would seem very trite to the average historian and very nationalistic, for they only pertain to the nation Israel. And yet, it concerns great world events. Because what is recorded here denotes a tremendous change actually in the history of the world. And the second suggestive thing I would note would be this, that we see in this section the transfer of world power from Assyria to Babylon. And Babylon, the first great world empire, and it denotes the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. And it was actually the real menace to God's people. Now, there's another thing I should say. This section is a record of a son of David who was beset by enemies and who went down to the very verge of death, but was delivered out of it, and he continued to reign. Now, this, I think, foreshadows the great son of David who was beset by enemies when he came, delivered to death, raised from the dead, and who's coming again to reign. This makes this a very interesting section. Now I come back to these great significant factors that are in this section. And the second one I want to mention is this here, that this is recorded three times in Scripture. You'll find it in 2 Kings 18 and 19, 2 Chronicles 29 and 30, and we've had it before us at another time, in fact, twice before. And I'll hit it, I think, rather hurriedly. Now we have the third significant and stupendous event. Great miracles are recorded in this brief section. For instance, we see first the death angel slays 185,000 Assyrians. And then we see in this section the sun retreats 10 degrees on the sundial of Ahaz. And the third, God heals Hezekiah and extends his life 15 years. And this section here, it opens with Assyria, closes with Babylon. And in this section, we have two very important letters. The first one was from the king of Assyria, which Hezekiah took directly to God in prayer, and God delivered his people. Now, the second letter was from the king of Babylon, which flattered Hezekiah. He did not take it to the Lord in prayer, and that led as a result to the undoing of the southern kingdom and eventually led to its captivity. But we're dealing now with a great king here. Hezekiah was a great king. And in this section, in chapter 36, we see King Hezekiah and the invasion of Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And then in chapter 37, we have King Hezekiah's prayer and the destruction of the Assyrian host. And then in 38, we have King Hezekiah's sickness and his prayer and his healing. And then in chapter 39, we have King Hezekiah played the fool.